Okay. Good morning, all y'all.
Good morning.
Happy to be here with you. Happy Sunday. So, how did it go last week? Did we experience living in a friendly universe? Did you notice the opportunities to be a friend in it? I had challenges. I had successes. I'm grateful for all of the moments, the hours, the days of friendship and connections that remind me of the goodness of life. So, there is always something going on that allows us to tap into it, to recognize it, to claim it, to know it, and to deny it. How I engage in life, it matters to my experience. Where I put my focus when I'm reflecting, and where I put my attention when I'm in action. So at least once every week, it really is, at least once every week, I have the opportunity to say the science of mind is a way of living. It's a philosophy. It's a way of life. The principles we study are the unchanging truths that can be applied to any and every situation and condition in our life. Every week I get up and that's what I'm talking about. This week was absolutely no exception. And it isn't a pop quiz this week. Maybe just a friendly reminder, maybe an introduction for some of us, that when we talk about a principle, it is the capital T truth of life. In this faith, in this philosophy, we are taught first to understand the principle and then relate it to our problem for the final test. Life is about proving these principles, or maybe better said, it's about living them, and they prove themselves. And actually, it's really one, isn't it? Literally, oneness is the principle we are proving in the ways that we live. And what do we mean by oneness? In the Science of Mind book, by Ernest Holmes. It's often referred to as the textbook. He writes, "There is one infinite reality. We call it many names, including but not limited to God, life, universal spirit, infinite intelligence, first cause, or the thing itself, my favorite I'll add in, the living spirit almighty. The one infinite reality is undivided, complete, and whole within itself. This oneness creates everything out of itself, and therefore includes both the absolute and relative, tangible and intangible, physical and metaphysical aspects of reality." So in proving this principle of oneness, Ernest Holmes also asserted, "Until we awake to the fact that we are one in nature with God, we shall not find the way of life." He goes on. "Until we realize that our one word, our own word, has the power of life, we will not see clearly." Let me give it to you again so you can really take it in. "Until we realize that our own word has the power of life, we will not see clearly." And he then points out that in the sacred text, the Holy Bible, it is written, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if any word has power, it follows that all words have power. And it means that every word which we hear, which we speak, which we think, it has some power. So yet again, I shall remind us all to pay attention to what we're thinking, to what we're saying, to what we're hearing, to all of the words that are happening in us and through us and as us, because they're revealing to us our own beliefs. So as we prove this principle of oneness in the ways that we live, that includes not only the way that we speak, it also includes the way that we listen. I'm waiting. Yeah. What better place to practice and observe and understand our oneness than with our friends? It's a rough world out there. Let's work amongst our friends. I've noticed, because I've been working on this friendship thing, that we have all kinds of different friends, all different levels of friendship. We have close friends. We have besties. We have friends of friends. We have friends of friends of friends. We have new friends. We have old friends. We have current friends. We have friends that we share our heart with, and we have friends that we share a hug with. Does it make anyone a better friend or a lesser friend? I don't think so. Because what our friends are offering us, and what we're offering in the experience of friendship, is to know our oneness with life. Friends can be how we know our authentic self. Friends can be the ones who we practice expressing that authentic self with until it becomes and it feels natural. We need each other for this. The reflection and the interaction of our divinity through our humanity. That's how we get to know it in a greater way, is by the way that we interact with each other. And good friends are a gift. I got to spend great time with my bestie. And it's such a great moment when we get to just relax in the presence of someone that we know and that we love. And today I'm really excited to introduce you to a good friend of mine and Fred, and someone that I've known for, oh gosh, I don't know, a hot minute. We've been through a little bit of life together. And the reason that I was prompted to introduce you to him is we had a great moment together. We shared a moment. And I thought, gosh, Mark, I'd like you to know my friends here, and I would like them to know you, and to have you articulate a little bit of your experience of being in the world. And Michael, may we borrow the mic, please? So I'd like to introduce you to my good friend, Mark Till. Say hi, Mark.
Hi, everybody. Oh, my. Well, what an honor to be here. Good morning, buen día, ¿cómo estás? ¿Cómo estás? Sabadí, ni hauma. Some of the privilege I've had to travel and see human beings just like us out there. But when it comes to friendship, friendships have different flavors in the different cultures and such. And I'll tell you this, all of us here right now, me having grown up here in Orange County and in this wonderful experiment called the United States, a developed country, you have more opportunity than most of the rest of the world has for developing what you're doing and what is being talked about here. And let me tell you, that gong, boy, that's worth the price of admission right there. Wow, that just sent it right through my body. Beautiful. I'll just share. I'll share kind of two levels of the different levels of friendship. And boy, I was called out by Reverend Laser Eyes here. You know, what I'm talking about? Those laser eyes where they just go, and then you know, I have an idea, and next thing you know, here I am. The first has to do with one of my travel stories. And so, if you're not familiar with the country of Bhutan. Bhutan is a very protected, one of the only Asian countries not to be colonized. Very Buddhist, very homogeneous. But boy, these people walk their talk. And so there's a, if you go to Bhutan, your tour is going to be kind of prepared. You're going to have this amazing tour guide and a driver and just everything taken care of. And you'll end on your final day with a hike, if you can do it, up to the Tiger's Nest Monastery. And it's just stunning, beautiful. I was marching my way up there, and an avid filmmaker and such, so I was filming, and I saw a Buddhist nun in purple robes. And she's, you know, marching along, and I can hear her chanting. So, of course, I was captivated and kind of was leaning in to listen kind of what I could hear. And finally, I decided I'm going to go ahead of her. I don't want to disturb her, but I wonder if she'll interact with me. And so I did. I stopped and I smiled, and she smiled right back. And we, you know, got into a quick conversation. I said, "Gosh, you know, would you be okay if I filmed a little of what you're doing?" She's absolutely, absolutely. Her name's Andrea. I can't even tell you her Buddhist name she picked. It's on a video I made. But she said, sure. And so I filmed her. And then we got into a little conversation where I was just doing a little selfie thing. And I said, thank you for the reminder about the monkey mind. Because for me, if you don't know that monkey mind, just bouncing around, not able to focus. And I said, thank you for that. And she says, "Oh, no. She goes, "Let me tell you what my master told me. My master said that's what Sangha is. That's what our community is. Today, I help remember for you. I help remember for you. Tomorrow, I forget. You help remember for me. That's Sangha." So in the level of this community that you have here, you get to have that sangha, that spiritual community. And I got to tell you, when I look back, and I have a very tight, close-knit circle of very close friends. I guess the bestie word is what we talk about, right? And those people, many of those people are from my religious communities through the age, through my year. Years of where I was, and that this this crucible here is it's just where things can happen, as almost in no others. Because we meet people in workplace, and sometimes we find them there or through school, neighbors. But boy, spiritual community is a huge, huge piece that for me, still to this day, even though I don't belong to a specific organization, still feeds my soul every time I sit down with somebody like Reverend Laser Eyes here. The last thing I'd share is I had a drama teacher in Los Alamitos in junior high that profoundly affected my life, changed my life from that of a kind of athlete, that typical mold, into a little bit more full range in theater arts and such. And he introduced a book to me at probably age 13 or, well, maybe 14. Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and you're all nodding your heads, a New Thought favorite, by Richard Bach. And at the end of that story, as Jonathan has been a teacher and enlightened so many different seagulls that there's more than just this limited fighting on the beach. You can fly, you can spread your wings. And they start to realize, the students, that he's leaving. It's time for him to move on to his next dimension. And one of the young seagulls goes up, Fletcher Seagull goes up and says, Jonathan, what we have? If you leave, what if you leave, we won't have that. I won't have that anymore. And Jonathan Livingston Seagull just says, no. Because our friendship is not dependent on time or space. Or distance. Overcome time, all you have is now. Overcome distance, all you have is here. And Fletcher, in between here and now, we will see each other often. So when I sit with a friend like this, at time and distance, it's as if, whether it's been 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, it's just right back there. Right back in that moment. And so that's a blessing. So thank you, dear friend. And thank you to all of you for the consciousness that you continue to create. And I'll just be a cheerleader on the sidelines for you as you continue to do that. Because as this past week has shown, it's sorely needed. So thank you. Namaste. Mm-hmm.
Who brought a friend today? Come on. I know y'all did. I met some of y'all. I brought a friend too. Good friends, it's precious. And I picked this title, Trouble with Friends, and many times this week I got to explain that trouble with friends wasn't about when we're having woes and hard times with our friends. Trouble with friends might be also when we're getting into some good trouble. Like we do. And it's fun, and it's exhilarating, and it's how we experience and express another part of ourselves that we know of ourselves. And so it is going through the ups and the downs, but it's also the expansion and the acceleration and the movement. And Aristotle, familiar? If you're not, Google. Aristotle said, what is a friend? A single soul living in two bodies. That is food for thought. That is something to think about. One of our greatest gifts in friendship is the privilege to witness each other, to be with each other through the activities of our life, to be able to share an experience with someone that we know either well or not well, and to simply be there. To offer love, to offer support, to offer kindness, to be the presence. Friends support our hard times and our far out, outlandish, audacious ideas. We find our friendships in the most different and unexpected ways sometimes. Sometimes it's because we had the courage to say out loud what it is that's upon our heart, what it is that's upon our mind, and I didn't mean to say that in front of that person, because, you know, I don't know if I'm safe there. But it turns out my willingness to share myself and to express myself is an invitation to someone else to support it, to be there, to be a friend. Our friends can say what we need to hear. Let them. I remember being out with my family. It was many years ago. Our kids were pretty young. And something was going not as I had planned it. Already problems, right? And we could all feel it. And I was getting ready. I was gearing up to take the opportunity to put people in their place. And I mean, you can't imagine that of me, I know. And my daughter, some of y'all have met her. My daughter Amanda, she'd very gently and very quietly and very much under her breath just kind of nudged me and said, "Mom, don't make trouble." Our friends can say what we need to hear. Let them. The moment passed, we carried on with our activity. More recently, I guess I hadn't learned the lesson completely, my son had the opportunity to tell me, "We're all just going to play nice here, Mom." Because I was ready on his behalf to take it on. And he just looked at me and he said, "Yeah, it's all right, Mom. Thanks, but we're just going to play nice here." Those are fun. Those are easy ways to think about it. But what about the troubles that separate us and cause us to forget and even deny our unity? There's some troubles that we experience with friends, with people, in our interactions in life, whatever level of friendship it is. You know, you might think of some of the same ones that I do: jealousy and blame, criticism. Those are the ones that came to mind for me as I was thinking about this. Troubles that we stir up within ourselves, and then they start getting lived out here. And we are proving a principle, but it's not the one I want to prove. It's not the way I want to prove it. These troubles with friends, they can lead us down a rabbit hole. And all of it is about remembering who we are. These troubles with friends, they give us ammunition and they give us proof that we don't live in a friendly universe. And what I want to keep reminding myself and what I want to keep reminding all of us is that this life is God's life. This life is perfect. This life is good. This life is whole. This life is one. It's one life. And all those things that I know to be true of God are true of me because I came from it. I am made in its image and likeness. I am of it. That essence of God is within me. But not only that, it's within each of us. And so when I look out there and I'm finding myself in judgment, I'm finding myself in criticism, I'm finding myself in blame, and that is so easy to do, then I am forgetting not just my oneness, but I'm forgetting our oneness. And when we're practicing oneness, it's not about I'm trying to be one with you. I'm remembering my oneness with the divine. And then I look out here and I look at you and I know your oneness with the divine. I know that, and that's what I interact with. I don't have to try to look the same or feel the same or talk about it the same or use even the same words, because there's an infinite way of knowing and experiencing the divine. So Albert Schweitzer so eloquently said, and it just ties in so perfectly with your experience with the nun, in everyone's life, at some time, our inner fire goes out. It is then burst into flame by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who kindle our inner spirit. Our friendship, it has many expressions and many faces. And when we expand our ideas of it, and we allow ourselves to embody friendship. It's like how I feel about love. It's the same thing. I'm not trying to love all of you. I know, right? For some of you, you've heard me say this before, so it's not such a shock. For those of you that it is, a little hug. I'm not. My intention in love is to be the presence of love. That's it. To be the presence of love and to know the presence of love in each and every one that I encounter, that I interact with, that I am privileged to share a moment with. Friendship is like that for me. I don't need a list of more friends. I have a lot of friends on Facebook. Whatever. I'm not looking for a greater list of friends, although that might happen. I'm looking for what does it mean for me to exist in a friendly universe and to be part of that, to be friendly. How will it change and shape the way that I hear what's going on in the world, the way that I see what's going on in the world, and the way that I engage my own activity in the world? That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm inviting us to do. So every time we recognize the presence of God as the unifying force that brings us together, we are practicing and we are proving the principle of oneness. And not every person that we interact with is going to be our best friend. Not everyone is going to be able to even meet us where we are. It's okay. It's the moment that matters, and it's that moment of how we ourselves are living it that I'm inviting us to pay a little more attention to be a little more attentive to, so that we can live each moment well. We can walk through our life and through the activities of life and be able to not succumb to all of that. So this morning when we were in the meditation, it was just so lovely. Thank you, Rosie. I don't always get to make it in there. But you know, I got to meditate in the subway this morning. You guys familiar of the person who complained to, it might have been the Dalai Lama, it might have been Thich Nhat Hanh, I don't remember, complained, oh, it's so loud out there, I can't meditate. It's so loud. And his advice to them was, well, go meditate on the subway. The practice is in our own awareness, our own stillness, our own ability to be at ease with whatever is going on around us. And so this morning, you know, we had the music going on, and we had things going on, we had chattering going on, and there was all kinds of noise. It was awesome. It was wonderful, because I got to be reminded of the practice to be in this world and to know that right where I am, God is, that right where I am the presence, the power, the authority of divine love. And that whatever is going on around me can go on, and I can still be true to this. This infinite and divine intelligence within me. So we learn to live each moment well. And when needed, we reconcile our ideas of separation and opposition. I love this idea. In the Science of Mind glossary, reconciliation is to cause to be friendly again, to adjust. The removal of any inconsistencies and any inharmonies. So we're reconciling our own differences. So I invite us, let's be unafraid of some good trouble with friends. Let's have some fun. Let's smile. Let's support and encourage and love one another. Let's share this life together. Let's prove the principle of oneness in the way that we live. The way that we interact, the way that we see the divinity of God within ourselves and within each other. Yes? Yes. Yes. And so it is. Thank you. Allendale.